We could have no higher aspiration than to do all in the name of the Lord, which actually means do it by His authority. And I hope and pray today that everything that we do in this service will redound to the glory of God and will be in His name. We appreciate your presence. Let's greet one another and especially our visitors at the close of the service today. John the 16th chapter is a chapter in which Jesus gives advice to His apostles as He sends them out to preach the gospel. And of course, we could have no greater advice than that which the Lord gave His apostles. We all preachers need advice, especially Bible advice. And here in John 16 it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended," that is to His apostles. "They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." I want to come back to that just a little later. "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Ladies and gentlemen, one of the intriguing things about the Lord and His teaching here relative to His apostles was the fact that some folks in the world, religious people, people who believe in God, and they do, these people believe in God, would actually kill the apostles, and in killing them, they'd think they're doing God a favor or a service, which is the same thing. That has always amused me, and yet it is true, and I think it is true today. I think there are many people in the world today who are religious, very religious, as Jesus said, and this isn't something I've made up. This is in the Bible. This is what the Lord said. Not Ward Hoagland, but the Lord said this, and I believe it. And I believe that there are many people today who fall into this category who are practicing things in religion and doing things in religion, and to people who are Christians, and they actually believe they're doing God a favor when they are not. They're doing the devil a favor. He says that some people will not only put you out of the synagogue, they'll put you to death, and they think they're on God's side. Most people with whom I talk in the world today think that they're on the side of God. Well, I know that can't be true in all cases because the religious world is divided even doctrinally and they don't all teach the same thing. And I know that my God is consistent. Therefore, someone is not doing God a favor. But someone says, "Preacher, they think they are." Who are these people? Well, I'm going to tell you who they are. They are people who believe in God. They are sincere. And they want to go to heaven, and yet they're teaching an espousing error. You know, I think there are two classes of people who about whom Jesus could have been talking here. One class is people who are honestly mistaken, and I believe that's the ones he's talking about. I believe there are a lot of folks in Boonville, Mississippi, in Prentice County, and all over the world who are in churches today, and they actually as honest as they can be. As we say, they're honest as the day is long. They're sincere, but they are in error. Notice what Jesus said. He says, these people think they're doing God a favor. Therefore, they're not atheists. They're not agnostics. These people are not cynics. They're believers in God. They believe in God, and they'll tell you that they do. And yet they are teaching error and actually thinking they could kill an apostle of the Lord and be on God's side. Someone says, "Well, I don't understand that." Well, we need to understand it because it's in the Bible. And there are people that way. They actually believe that God is with them. Like Enoch, they believe they're walking with God. But actually, they are not. Now, there's another class of people who are teaching error and espousing error, and they're dishonest. And you can't do anything with them because they're not even honest. They're not mentally honest. Jesus talked about, in Luke 8, 11, the seed falling into the honest and good heart. Well, that implies that the Word of God can fall into a dishonest heart. And I believe that's true in many cases. It doesn't fall into the honest heart. Now, I can give you examples of people who were honest, like Lydia. Lydia didn't know the truth in Acts 16, but she was honestly mistaken. When Paul preached unto her, her heart was open and she obeyed the gospel. She's an honest person. So was Saul of Tarsus. And so was the Philippian jailer who was later converted. And many people in the Bible. But they didn't convert everybody. And yet these same people heard the word of God. Now, the reason for this category about which Jesus is speaking is that they are ignorant of God's law. And the greatest case in the Bible to enhance what the Lord said is old Saul of Tarsus himself. He falls into that category. Someone says, you mean he was killing Christians? Yes, I believe he was, and I know he held the clothes of the ones who killed Stephen, and Paul at that time thought he was doing God a favor. Paul thought he was doing God a service. And if Paul could be in error, don't you know that many people in the world today can be in error and not know it? And I'm not talking about dishonest people. I'm talking about honest people who are just ignorant of God's law. Permit me to read from 1 Timothy 1:12, if you don't mind. And I'm going to read about a man who fit into this category. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, this is Saul talking. He said, "Who was before," that is before he was converted. Paul said, "Who was before? A blasphemer." He gives us three nouns here that tells us what he was. He said, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But," he said, I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief." There's the key right there. The word ignorance. I want to talk about that a while, because a lot of people misunderstand. When you refer to somebody as being ignorant, a lot of people take that as an insult. It isn't necessarily an insult. We're all ignorant in some areas. But it's catastrophic to be ignorant in religion. Now, you can be ignorant in the scientific field or in the field of medicine or in pathology or some other field, and you can still go to heaven. You can be ignorant in those areas, and many of us are. You can't be ignorant in regard to your soul's salvation, because you'll lose your soul. That's one area in which you cannot be ignorant and go to heaven. Paul said, "I did it in what?" He said, "I did it in ignorance." "Paul, what do you mean by that? Are you calling yourself stupid?" "No," he said, "Hoagland, you're the one that's stupid, because there's a difference in stupidity and ignorance." Now, I see, and I agree to that. When a man may be ignorant in regard to the Bible, but he might be a genius in other areas. Matter of fact, we have a lot of folks who are. But they're ignorant as far as God's word is concerned. Paul said, "I did it in ignorance and unbelief." That is, when I thought it was right to kill Christians. Jesus said they would do that. He says some folks will think they're on God's side and they're doing God's service. That's Paul. He thought God wanted him to do that. His religion taught him to do that. He thought when the church of the Lord came into existence that they were a bunch of heretics. They had broken off from the main body of Judaism. Paul was a Jew. Therefore, he thought they needed to be liquidated. He was sincere in it. He was honest in it. He said, "I verily thought that I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which I did not only in Jerusalem, but also in strange cities." Paul fits this picture that Jesus talks about when he says they'll kill you and think they're doing God a favor or doing God service. And I'm just giving you an example out of the Bible of one who did. And he admits it. But he said, "I did it in ignorance and unbelief." You know, a person can be ignorant religiously about the Bible, and many people are. Unfortunately. And yet they can be very intelligent. Their IQ can be very high. So I want to clarify that when I talk about people being ignorant in religion, I am not talking about their IQ, because they may surpass many of us in that area. So I'm going to straighten that out. Because a lot of times when you talk about people being ignorant, they think you're belittling their intelligence. That isn't. Paul was a very intelligent man. Taught at the feet of Dr. Gamaliel. Very smart man. But he said, I was ignorant. When were you ignorant, Paul? Before I learned the truth. And he said, this ignorance on my part caused me to do things that I wouldn't think about doing now, even to killing and persecuting Christians. But it was ignorance in my religion. My religion taught me that. But my religion was wrong. And he said, I learned the truth. And now I serve God. And God has chosen me as one of his ministers. Speaking about ignorance, they tell the story of two senators walking in front of the White House. And they got into a religious argument. Actually, a biblical argument. And one of them said to the other, said, Senator, I'll bet you $5 you can't even quote the Lord's Prayer. He said, oh, yes. He says, I can. He said, I'm going to take you up. And they both laid their $5 on the docket. He said, I can say the Lord's Prayer. He said, I'm not ignorant of the Bible. Well, he said, say it. I want to hear you say it. He said, you claim you know the Bible. He said, well, let me think a minute. He said, now, Lord, he said, lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul should take. The other senator said, well, before God, I didn't know you could do it. Here's your $5. They were both ignorant of the Bible. And yet they were senators. So you see, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to Bible knowledge. They didn't even know the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. Now, there are many people out here in the world who fall into the category that Jesus was talking about here in John the 16th chapter. They think they're doing God a favor when they persecute you and even kill you. There are still people who hate the truth and hate God's people, and yet they do it sincerely, based on ignorance. They don't know what the Bible says. They've heard a little about it and maybe heard a preacher talk on it some, but they haven't gotten their head into the Bible and really dug it out. They have not, in an expository way, gone into the context. They have not done what Paul said, rightly divide the Word of God. Paul says you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, handling aright or rightly dividing the Word of God. The people haven't done that, but they're sincere. Some of them are, not all, but many of them are very sincere in it. They're like Paul. Then he says, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Question. Do you think that a person who is ignorant of the Bible will obtain mercy like Paul? Well, I do, if they will go to the right source, the Bible. And I believe that they'll learn the truth. And I believe they'll follow the truth. Paul says, I obtained mercy. Why did you obtain mercy, Paul? You needed mercy. You were ignorant. Why did you obtain? He says, because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And for that reason, I obtained mercy. I was sincere and I was honest. And God taught me the truth. I was taught the truth. And you know the story of Saul and how the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus road. Said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Don't you know you're persecuting me? He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, he said, you go into the city and you'd be told what to do. But in the meantime, Paul had fallen down on the earth, being struck blind. He couldn't see. And so he said, Lord, I've been following the religion of my father and mother for years. And I thought these members of the church that started on Pentecost, that bunch, I thought they were a bunch of heretics. I thought I was supposed to kill them. He said, no, 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 Saul, you're wrong about that. That's my body. That's the body of Christ. And you're persecuting me. But I know you did it ignorantly. I understand that. Well, then what would you have me to do? He said, you'll go into the city and you'll be told what to do. And Paul, being blinded by the light, was led by the ones in his company because he was blinded into the city of Damascus. And there, 3 days and three nights, he was in the attitude of prayer. For 3 days and three nights. And the Lord finally sent a gospel preacher to him. A man who really had the truth. His name was Ananias. Sort of an unknown preacher. And he went over and found Saul praying. And he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And there fell, as it were, scales from his eyes. And he says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Paul said he immediately arose and he was baptized. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. Now he knows the truth. He didn't know he was supposed to be baptized. He was ignorant of that. Totally ignorant of it. But Ananias, a God-sent man, listen to me, brother, a God-sent preacher. Ananias was a God-sent preacher. I guarantee you that. Not all preachers are God-sent, but he was. And he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22:16. And he said, calling on the name of the Lord. How do you call on the name of the Lord? Well, you call on his name by doing what he says. You don't just go out here and say, Lord, Lord. Jesus said many people will say, Lord, Lord, on the day of judgment. Haven't I done this and haven't I done that? And I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what the Lord said he'd say to some of those folks. Iniquity means lawlessness. It means they didn't do it according to Scripture. Are you listening to me? That's what iniquity means. Not doing it according to the Bible. Not doing it according to truth. So Saul arose and he was baptized. Now what I'm showing you is that what Jesus said here in John 16 came to pass in Saul himself and a lot of other folks. I just used him as an example. He said, I was ignorant of God's law. So why not just humble ourselves down and admit that sometimes we're ignorant on certain things, and especially something even in the Bible. A lot of people have too much arrogance to admit they've been wrong in religion. They don't want to admit it. Oh, no, especially if it's something your father and mother taught you. And Paul said, I was exceedingly zealous toward the tradition of my fathers. I was brought up this way. I was brought up in Judaism. He didn't know the old law had been nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14. Paul said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. But Paul was ignorant of that. He didn't know the old law had been abrogated. He didn't understand that. But now he does. He thought he was under the Old Testament law. And he thought these Johnny-come-lately members of the church who were baptized on the day of Pentecost, and by the way, 3,000 were baptized on that day. He thought that bunch that started on the day of Pentecost are a bunch of heretics. And he said, what God wants me to do is to get rid of them. You can't tell them anything, and therefore I think they ought to be killed. So when Stephen preached that sermon, and he was one of them, he's one of that bunch. He was one of that group, as some folks call him. He was one of that group, and he got up and preached. They decided to kill him, and Paul said, I'll hold your clothes while you do it, because I believe he ought to be killed, a man that'll get up and preach what he's preaching. And so he held their clothes. So he was an accessory to the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. That's what Jesus is talking about. Over here in John 16, he says, they think they're doing God a favor. They think they're doing God a service by killing you. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and I say this kindly, there are a lot of people and a lot of doctrines being taught today, and sometimes when people teach that, they think they're doing God a favor by teaching it, whereas they're not doing God a favor because that's not what God says. You take the theological triplets of Calvinism. One of them is hereditary total depravity. Someone says, what is that? Well, it is teaching that little babies are born in sin, if you really want to know. Nothing could be farther from the truth. There's nothing more pure than a little baby. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said about little children, little babies. Sin, my friend, is not inherited. Sin is committed. Therefore, the doctrine of inherent total depravity means that the doctrine is that little babies are born in sin. They inherit it. You don't inherit sin. You commit sin. Sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, when a preacher gets up and tells you that little babies are born in sin, he thinks, he may be sincere. He thinks he's doing God service. He thinks he's doing God a favor, but actually he's teaching false doctrine. That doctrine is not in the Bible. He's just like Paul. He thinks he's doing God a service, and the people listen to it and they believe that. They think they're doing God's service. You're not doing God a service. You're doing a service of the devil. Any false doctrine is a doctrine of the devil. Little babies are not born in sin. Sin is committed. I asked a man one time, I said, since you teach inherent total depravity, do we inherit it from our daddy or from our mama? That is sin, since you say it's inherited. He said, from both of them. I said, well, Galatians 4 says Jesus was born of woman. Was he born half depraved? He was born of woman. The Bible said he was. Oh, well, now he said he was an exception to the rule. I said, then you don't always believe in inherent total depravity. The truth about the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that was a doctrine of Calvinism and not taught in the Scriptures. And another doctrine which is taught, and people sometimes do this sincerely, they call it irresistible calling. And they say, you've got to come to the mourner's bench and you've got to kneel down and pray for the Holy Ghost to come down on you, separate and apart from the Word of God to convict and convert you, and you have to beg and pray. And I saw a man one time pray through midnight, and he said he never did. God never would save him. You don't have to beg God to save you, and you don't have to beg the Holy Ghost to come down on you, brother. All you have to do is what Paul did, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. But people think they are doing God a favor when they teach irresistible grace. It's not irresistible. You can resist it. You can resist the Holy Ghost. Paul said some do. Stephen said they resisted the Holy Ghost. He said, even as your fathers did, so do you. You resist the Holy Ghost. It's not irresistible. But that is a doctrine taught today. And sometimes people sincerely believe that, because they do not know the Word of God. Limited atonement. That is, some people believe that God has elected a few people out here through predestination and election, which, by the way, that is taught in the Bible, but not that brand of it. Predestination and election is taught. We're elected because we choose to be elected. But there is a doctrine is that if you're elected to go to heaven, that you couldn't go to hell. And if you're elected to go to hell, you couldn't go to heaven. And therefore, your doom is sealed and you can't do anything about it. That's not taught in the Bible. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom ye'll serve. You make your own choices. And it's not that a certain number are elected to go to heaven and a certain number are elected to go to hell. And yet there's a creed which says that. And that it can't be changed either way. Someone says, could a person be sincere who teaches that? Possibly. But they're like Paul. They're ignorant of God's law. Paul said, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. He said, I thought my religion was right, but it was wrong. He says, the Lord and the preacher straightened me out. And they did. Someone says, well, preacher, I'll ask you this question. What if Paul hadn't have been honest, though? What if he'd argued with the preacher and argued with the Lord and said, well, I've always done this, and you're not going to change me. I know what I'm doing, and I don't intend to change. Well, he'd lost his soul. But Paul wasn't that kind of man. He was honestly mistaken. He wasn't dishonestly mistaken. Do you know the difference? There's a big difference. Paul was honestly mistaken. There's some people dishonestly mistaken, but not this man. Someone said, but he had to give up the religion of his daddy and mama. Yes, he did. He did. Someone said, well, he was brought up that way. I understand all that. And Paul said, I was brought up that way. He said, I verily thought that I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. And I was exceedingly zealous toward the tradition of my father. And there are people today who think they're doing God a favor when they say that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. They say you can be baptized if you want to be, and if you don't want to be, you don't have to be, because you're saved by faith only. And yet the Bible in James 2:27 so plainly says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It says that. And yet in spite of that, there's people who say, all you have to do is just accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you don't have to be baptized. Whereas the Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Lord said that in Mark 16:15-16. Very plain. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But there are people who think they're doing God a service and they think they're on God's side when they say baptism has not one thing to do with salvation, but the Bible says we're saved by baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save you. He says that baptism saves us. Someone says, but he didn't say baptism only saves. You're exactly right about that, and I've never preached that. That would be false doctrine. I've never taught anyone that baptism only saves, but it saves. I've never taught that faith doesn't save, but faith alone doesn't save. I've never taught you that repentance doesn't save, but repentance alone will not save you. But you got to repent. I've never said that confession doesn't save. I've never taught that. Confession does save, but not confession only. You see, when you go to putting the word only onto some of these things, these appellations or whatever you want to call them, then you espouse false doctrine. The truth about the matter is they think they're doing God a favor when they tell folks you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. You could put on the board what Peter said, baptism does also now save us. Then you could put down below it, baptism does not save us. Now, which one do you believe? I believe the first one. I believe what the Bible said. And yet there are people who are honest. Yeah, they're honest people because they haven't learned. They don't know. But when they learn, they'll change. They'll be just like the peerless Apostle Paul. So my lesson today is titled, Doing God a Favor. The only way, ladies and gentlemen, that you do God a favor is by doing what God says. And if you don't do what God says, believe me, you are not doing God a favor. So let's all come back to the Bible, speak where it speaks, and shall we be silent where it's silent? If you're here today and subject and you want to do God a favor, you do what God says. You believe and you repent and you confess and you be baptized. But don't isolate any of these things. Just do everything God says. Do all of them. And God will regenerate you. And he will save you as he did 2,000 years ago. Shall we stand as